Josh Sitton has always worked as a center, you know, as far as our rotation. Once again, you don't ever go into the game or even a season, off season, just trying to train one player. If you watch our quarterback center exchange on a daily basis, you know, we'll work up to five centers. So just always developing. Josh is, you know, he's a great player. I mean, I have the utmost faith in him. As if he had to move from guard to center, and hell, I think if he had to, he can go and play tackle for us. So he gives us flexibility. You know, TJ has done it in games in the past when we have repped other players at center.
How different is this decision if Barkley is healthy?
Barkley, unfortunately, Don isn't healthy. So, I don't really deal with that.
Mike, how comfortable are you at this point with DeJuan Harris as your kickoff returner?
I think Dwan's done a good job. I mean, obviously, it's, he needs to handle the ball cleaner all the time, and he's working through that. He's putting a lot of extra time, getting extra kickoffs with the jugs machines and things like that. So I like the improved work ethic there. But I think he's has a chance to be impactful when, you know, once he gets going. I mean, he's a very instinctive runner. He's strong. He's powerful. He has the speed to finish. So I like what he's done so far.
Mike, what do you want to see just with Scott and Matt, and obviously the preseason finale?
Well, quarterback rotation-wise, we're kind of still working through it. I met with Alex Van Pelt last night, and Tom, I talked about it again this morning. You know, the biggest thing is I think Matt is 10 plays behind Scott, so trying to find a balance, how you balance that out, and that's, you know, as best you can. So how we're going to do it, we have two plans, and we'll work through that probably tomorrow.
Is one of those plans possibly going series by series, every couple of series, so they're facing kind of
the same? We wouldn't do a series by series. I'm not a fan of every series. I mean, playing quarterback is obviously a demanding position. You have to give the quarterbacks an opportunity to create rhythm and flow. So at a minimum, I think they would play at least one quarter before you switched. You know, I think you have to be smart about that. I've never been a fan of going every other series. I've been part of that in my past.
Have you decided for sure that Aaron will not play?
We haven't made any final decisions on who's playing and who's not playing.
I can't, and I don't want to.
Frankly, it's because to me we have 63 opportunities that are available. So it's the way we've always gone about it. It's great. It's up from 61 to 63. So and for the men that are not here, there's definitely an opportunity to maybe work again in the future. So that's always been my approach. So we're gonna make sure everybody gets an opportunity Thursday night against Kansas City to show what they got.
Jay Elliott has more sacks in the NFL than anybody at this point in the preseason. Have you been surprised at all by how well he's done in the pass rush?
Well, I think Elliott's a great example of a young man given an opportunity. Obviously, the three sacks and six plays, it doesn't happen every day, but it's. It just shows you his ability. I think he's, he gradually improved throughout his time here, and then when he was given a chance, he stepped up. You know, obviously played a lot more this past week against Oakland, and he'll continue and he'll play more than he ever has against Kansas City, both special teams and defense.
Mike, what has Jared Boykin shown you throughout camp?
Jared Boykin, just clearly he's taking the next step. I just love the way he plays. He's physical. His toughness. He's relentless. I think he's exceptional at the top of his route. His ability, you see his strength and balance to separate from a DB. So I think he's had an excellent camp.
Like when you're trying to determine your final, let's say you're down to final 10 guys for that 53, how much does special teams ability factor into that, or would you personally prefer a guy who can handle his position and think you can teach him special teams later?
Well, number one, you want as many four-down players as possible, and obviously the definition of a four-down player is someone who plays offensive defense on first, second, and third down and plays special teams on fourth down. So, yes, special teams is extremely important. I mean, it goes back to the first meeting you ever have with your team. The first meeting in a rookie orientation, it's probably in the top three things you talk about. You know, the vehicle onto our football team is through special teams. So it definitely is a big factor in a lot of decisions.
Mike, Ted talked last week about how, you know, he likes working with you on the personnel side and that partnership. Has that always been an area you've felt strong in, or is that an area you've, you know, developed as a coach?
I don't know if I've ever met a coach who didn't think he was a great personnel guy, but I've never met a personnel guy who didn't think he was a hell of a coach either. So I think that's just our business. But yeah, it's fun, and I just have I just really have great respect for the process and structure that's been in place since Ron Wolf came here in '92. So just the way our people go about it. There's just a lot of confidence, from the personnel department to the coaching department and vice versa. So, yeah, it's definitely a fun part of the job. But, the final decisions are the things you kind of you just beat yourself up over. And Ted is, he's the ultimate about being patient, being thorough. And if the deadline's 3 o'clock, you're probably going to hear about it about 2:59. So.
Has it ever gotten heated? You and Ted over a player?
No. I'm too old for that.
If it had, would you tell it?
No.
It's not a decision you have to make this week, but what's the process in deciding whether you're going to keep two or three quarterbacks? And I mean, how much input do you have in that or any input?
Well, I mean, it's like any position. Matt and Scott aren't just competing against each other. And this goes back to the way we've always picked a team. You have to keep your best players. So, they're really competing against the other positions. And that's really what it'll come down to.
Regarding your teaching protocol, teaching the tape, I saw one drill where a young man did a rep and wanted to do it again. And the position coach said, we'll take care of it upstairs. Tell me about how much you've had to adjust as a coach to use the visual more than out there on the practice field to change a player's technique.
That's an excellent question. I mean, all your questions are good, but that's an excellent question. Because to me, when you formate a practice, the first thing you have to make a decision as a coach, what are you ultimately committed to? I mean, if you're committed to the tempo of practice, then you have to let the video, be the part of the correction. So we're obviously committed to tempo. I mean, we don't run gassers after practice. We condition our football team of how fast we practice. So that's why you don't probably see a lot of the coaches jumping in there and making a correction on the field. Everybody's sitting there. Make it so we correct off the video. I mean, it's a philosophical decision I think you have to make as a head coach. And then with that, the resources, particularly today, are just, it's some parallel compared to the prior generations in pro football. So that's our philosophy going in. But you get into more of the individual fundamental drills, then obviously there's more hands-on teaching. But our team drills, our competitive drills, I'm all about flow, tempo, keeping it going. That's what the time clock's for, because not only we want to play that way, we're also conditioning our football team.
But do you get a sense that from the players' response that seeing themselves do it on video sometimes is almost better than out there in the hot field for 3 hours, trying to do it?
Well, I think human nature applies to a lot of things coming off the practice field. And when there's days where you did think you didn't practice very well, and there's days where you think you might have practiced better than you actually did. So I think the video, doesn't lie. But, the one thing that you have to capture is the emotion, the intensity, and how it feels on the field, because that definitely counts.
Two more, please. From your perspective, how much does past performance play a role in selecting a roster? If a guy had a good year in 2013, for example, does that weigh into your evaluation in 2014?
I mean, your past experiences is part of every individual's value. I think that's like anything in life. So, but I don't think that's going to be a determining factor. I think every individual that's competing for a roster spot is building his value, and then we have to weigh that. And, you know, sometimes you don't pick the 53 most talented players or the 53 you think you're the most productive players. You're looking to chart a path to a Super Bowl, and you're looking at the group that you think best gives you that chance. You know, the group dynamics is a big part of it too. So all those things factor.
At receiver, you know, Aaron was saying yesterday that with the young guys, they kind of – he wasn't critical. I mean, you saw that they needed to raise their preparation some more, I guess. What is your comfort level with, you know, Richard Rodgers and Davante Adams, two guys who you might have to count on heavily at some point?
Well, I think that's a normal process that these guys go through. I think if you ask Richard and Davante, they probably think they're preparing more than they ever have before, and they think they're probably doing a heck of a job. And the reality of it is, being a rookie, it's never enough. You know, it's just not enough. And then once you're able to catch your breath and things slow down for you, then you realize that there's a whole other level of learning that goes on. So, you know, right now the younger guys are trying to do the right thing, get the timing within the system with Aaron in particular. But, you know, once again, you have a system of football. We refer to the cheat system or the system of experience. I mean, all the little things that go on a daily basis aren't things that are written down in a book. You know, they're not things that you can just tell someone. There's a process you have to go through, and every rookie has to go through that.
So how do you get there? Is it just experience, or is it them learning?
Practice and games. You know, they spend a lot of time together in the meetings. I think the way we've structured our meetings, we have to do a lot of inter-position meetings. We don't really ever go individual during the afternoon after practice. So, you know, it's quarterbacks, tight ends, receivers will watch the passing game. The running backs and the O-line are in there on the run game. And the O-line, running backs, tight ends, quarterbacks will do it. So we do a lot of interaction between our position coaches.